Hello guys, welcome to a brand new episode of Black Spin Global. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And yeah guys, we are here. How are you, Eugene?
I'm good, very tired. So it's been a long weekend slash long day.
Yep.
But we give thanks, we're here.
Hence why we are even recording a day late.
Exactly. Apologies.
At 10 p.m.
Apologies. But
and
commitment.
I've got to wake up early to train, I'm just saying.
See, commitment. Love it.
In here, look at us, man. Look at this. Black excellence all love the it. Way. Your favorite pods, they don't do that.
Love it. But yeah, let's get into it. So obviously a lot's going on with the Olympics and stuff, which we'll get into a bit later on. But as we always do, we'll create a quick roundup of just events that have happened in the past couple of weeks since we've been off. So massive congratulations to Gael Monfils and Alina Citalina.
Yes, sir.
Got married in Switzerland. I think it was Geneva, which is where Le Monf lives. Really nice pictures.
It looks like it was like a nice, small, intimate.
Yeah, pretty star-studded. Like a lot of like French tennis players, obviously. So I think Gasquet was there. Gilles Simon. Who else did I recognize?
Obviously, with COVID, they probably couldn't have.
Yeah, huge amount, exactly.
So
yeah,
at least they were able to do that quickly, and I guess their honeymoon was the Olympics.
Yeah, exactly, in Tokyo.
Yeah.
Well, one other thing as well to mention. So they were both wearing like gowns designed by Virgil Abloh. Off-White, aka keeping it to Virgil's.
Hello, yeah.
Which was pretty cool to see. So. Yeah, shouts out to Monfils and Citalina. She was asked actually as well, I think it was after her first round match in Tokyo, if she's going to be changing her name to Monfils.
I think I saw something. I think they actually even changed it for her.
Yeah, exactly. Some website, basically. Yeah. And she was like, no, like she's going to be Citalina until the end of her career, and then she'll change to Monfils, which I respect. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's normal for all athletes.
Pretty much.
The thing is with tennis as well, like your name is your brand.
Exactly.
Well, as an athlete anyways, when you're a big person, well, whether you're big or not or whatever it is, when you've made your name out there, that's what you're gonna, you know,
100%
stick with.
100%.
And I'm pretty sure Monfils, who's in the industry, totally understands that. You rarely ever get people changing their names after they get married anyways.
So congrats to them, and obviously we wish them a long and very healthy marriage. Probably create some kids, some tennis playing kids along the way. Another player I want to give a shout out to, Alicia Parks, who we had on the pod at the start of the year actually. So she made her European WTA debut in Lausanne, Switzerland.
Nice.
And yeah, basically that was a WTA 250 event. She won a round there. So she beat Annalena Friedsam, the German, in three sets. That was a really good win. Like she hit 13 aces in that match. And it had to be played over like 2 days because of the rain.
Nice.
She lost in the second round to the second seed, Fiona Ferro. And that was in straight sets. But just a good, like, obviously that's a European WTA tour debut. She just like continued to get the experience. She's 20 years old. I think a lot of people are saying that she's probably going to get a wild card for the US Open as well,
because
she's been putting in the work. So shouts out to Alicia Parks.
It's very nice seeing like how a lot of people are really getting this shit done with this whole pandemic and stuff. Like, I can't imagine how it is for them, like, you know, like getting tested regularly,
quarantining,
keeping it safe,
quarantine. Yeah.
So shout out to all the players, man.
No, definitely.
All the staff working in all the tournaments. I think we're not even really realizing how long this is.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Definitely. Yeah. And staying in Europe, so Mikael Immer, the Swedish number one, he reached his first ATP tour level quarterfinal in Gstaad. So he picked up wins against Enzo Cuquad, I think he's a French kid, and Feliciano Lopez. And then he went out in straight sets in the quarterfinal to the qualifier Vít Kopřiva, who beat Denis Shapovalov the round before. So he was like bang on form. But it was just really, really good because I watched both of those. I watched the Feliciano Lopez match, and I did watch the Kopřiva match too. But I was really impressed with his performance against Lopez. just, yeah, he lost the first set and then, like, yeah, just got it together in the second and third. And obviously reaching his first ATP quarterfinal, like, pretty good going for Emma.
Yeah, he's another one who's actually really been.
Yeah, yeah, he's putting in the work. Like, yeah.
Going really far. As long as he keeps it, you know, he just keeps being consistent.
Yeah, I'd be surprised to kind of, I don't know, like, I thought they would be competing in the Olympics, because obviously being Swedish, obviously, but they probably chose not to. Like,
do you reckon? No, I don't think so.
Do
you think maybe he's the...
Their ranking is good enough. Like, his ranking, he's top 100. So, well,
compared to all of the other Swedish tennis players. But maybe there's not enough Swedish players.
Maybe his brother, as in, we were talking about in a bit, actually, mm-hmm. Elias, I think he's like in the top... He's top 200, so he's like in the 150s, I think.
But besides them two...
Yeah, there aren't. You don't really think that so many. There's Bjorn Borg's son coming up, Leo Borg, who's getting a lot of wild cards these days. But he's a junior, so he's I think he's like 17. So he's someone to look out for, definitely. But obviously, this is a Black Spin Global podcast.
This is an African people love only, baby.
But yeah, staying with the Emma brothers, Elias. So he was in Los Cabos in Mexico. Really nice venue. And yeah, he reached the second round there and he lost to the eventual champion, Cameron Norrie, who won his first title, the Brit. I say the Brit, I think he's born in New Zealand, but yeah, he represents Great Britain. Yeah. But yeah, basically out of every player that Norrie faced, I think he won in straight sets, but yeah, that match against Elias, that first set anyway, like that should have really went to Elias. I think it was like 7-5 or... No, it went to a tiebreak. It was 7-6. Norrie won the tiebreak. But yeah, Elias would have been pretty like annoyed with himself that he didn't pull that off because he had opportunities. But yeah, it's good to see him again playing like on the ATP Tour, because obviously he plays most of his tennis on like the Challenger Tour. So yeah, good to see him playing ATP Tour tennis. Yeah, juniors. So a shout out to those French kids again. So Giovanni Mepeshi Pericard.
One of them has really been engaging with our page.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
I think it was the one we were struggling to pronounce her name last time. The Cameroon girl, I think.
Cameroon. Ngunwe.
Yes. Yeah, She's really been interacting with our page, so shout out to her.
Oh, I love that. Claire V. Listen, we're going to get these players on the pod soon. So
facts.
Just watch the space. But yeah... Mepeshi Pericard, he won his first pro title in Uriage. Have you heard of that? It's in France, apparently. It's a province in France.
No, I haven't.
So yeah, that's where he won his first pro title.
Okay.
So he won the singles in that final. He beat Arthur Fils, who is like obviously his good friend and doubles partner.
Yeah.
And then they actually won the doubles event as well together at the same tournament. So nice. He did the double there. So yeah, really, really good look for Mepeshi Pericard and Fils. So shouts out to them two as well. And lastly, Jay Clark, Great Britain's Jay Clark. He finished runner-up in Nur-Sultan, which was a challenger event. And yeah, he lost out in the final there to Max Purcell, the Australian. More on him later on. he's been doing his thing at the Olympics. But yeah, Clark, I think he had match points in that final, but just wasn't able to put it off. But again, it's good to see him make deep runs. Obviously it's a challenger event, but
still, yeah
he seems to be like high on confidence again, so that's good for him going forward. So yeah, that's like our roundup done. I think the main kind of topic now when is she never the main topic, really?
It's true, you know, lately
she is. I loved one of your tweets actually I saw the other day about basically the gag is like,
oh, her and oh yeah, so guys, there was a tweet about someone who was saying, the tweet was actually months ago, and someone was saying how, oh, I don't remember why they made that tweet, but I know something was happening. They're saying how, oh, you know, Serena and Naomi Osaka acting like they're the face of the sport and blah blah blah. I think it was around the time where Australian Open where people were pulling out as they were going further into the tournament right before the Grand Slam. Yeah. Remember how like some made it to the semi-finals or finals.
The warm-up events.
Yeah, and then they left
which is
it.
Why. It's yeah. Like, yeah.
So they were like, I think it was why they made that tweet. And then I quote tweet and I was like, but they are the face of this sport. And I had to retweet it back into my TL because it's like, look at this. Like, it's been non-stop Naomi Osaka. So, yeah.
No, like, incredible. So the first thing I want to, like, touch on or talk about even, the documentary, like, the Netflix doc. Obviously, like, we posted about it, like, on our socials. But, like, what did you make of it?
Obviously, I'm a huge fan, so a lot of the things on there I already knew, type of thing. But it was, I feel like it was nice because it allowed others to see her and know her a little bit. But you know, people might interpret it a little bit differently. I didn't even tell you this, but I'm my workplace. You know, a colleague of mine was talking to me about it, be like, "Oh yeah, I watched a documentary," and it was very interesting to hear his point of view because he kind of, I think, this goes again of how, like, I feel like a lot of people are actually not really going to understand her and the things that she's been through. So, you know, so he was kind of like, you know, like, she's very, like, you know, reserved and shy and blah, blah, blah. Or, like, he was making, like, comments, for example, about how he thought or felt like her parents were forcing her to play tennis because she kept on mentioning the whole, you know, I don't want to, you know, I see my mom struggle, so I want to work for that. I want to do this. You know, we play tennis every day and blah, blah, blah. And I explained to him, well, number one, you know, for example, he didn't understand the situation between Naomi Osaka and Serena because he's not, he doesn't watch tennis, obviously, that US Open final. And I explained to him, like, hey, this girl went from literally no one barely mentioned her name to boom,
just
fame
like
came. Not only had the fame came because she was winning, but also because they were using her to, you know, attack Serena as well, which thank God it did not work. But it was just interesting hearing, obviously I was a bit defensive, obviously. But it was just interesting, you know, a little bit, like hearing a little bit, but also, you know, it shows you, I don't know how you're going to take this or how certain listeners going to take this because that colleague of mine was white. So it shows you a little bit of that white privilege.
Oh, no, facts.
Because it's like, you don't understand how it is for us immigrants, for us blacks, seeing what our parents have gone through and then we have to, you know, for us, it's not like we're being forced. We're like, all right, my family been through this. I have to make it 100 times better for them or even for myself or for my future family. So, yeah, it was just interesting to see it that way as well. But I really hope that everyone else kind of saw it as, okay, this is how she is. You know, she's still trying to figure shit out.
She's young.
She's
like
young. And I've said this so many times before. I was like, I feel like a lot of people have not taken that into consideration that
100%.
Her fame came so quickly. Like, you know, like, it's just a lot. But I'm really glad that she did it. You can see she didn't want to promote it too much because of the time and everything that's happened. But I'm pretty sure it did numbers. I didn't expect a colleague of mine to talk to me about it. I didn't think I was speaking. So, you know, it's working. It's out there. But I just wish there was a little bit of push so it can allow people to get to know her a little bit
better. I think, because I think we kind of touched on it before it was released, obviously. But we said, like, you're not, your everyday kind of, basically, non-tennis fans are going to watch it.
Yeah.
Because
Especially after the... So that's at the same time, there's a pros and a cons. Because maybe not a lot of people would have watched it if everything was all good. At least, and so I'm saying, that's what I like about the documentary is that the fact that this allows others to know
and get
her,
to get to know
her and get to know, okay, why she liked this or blah, blah, blah.
I loved every minute. Like, my only thing, I thought it was maybe too short. So I think there were like 40-minute episodes,
and it was only three parts. But maybe because of COVID as well, maybe some things got.
But I've got a feel. I think it's gonna, they're gonna continue it. I think there's more to come. So, and obviously, I think I'm pretty sure there's more to come. Like with the Olympics currently happening,
probably
So I think
a bit like how Serena did hers, like before.
So I'm just looking forward. But I really appreciated like how like honest it was, like in terms of like just it was really real. Like, do you get me? Like there wasn't any kind of she's such a shy like character, but then at the same time, like she really like, kind of let us in, like.
I think Osaka is someone where if she's comfortable, then she would do
it.
But
if
she's not, then she's not going to. But even for her to do a documentary, the type of person that she's been or she is, you know, it's shocking. Like, yeah. When I'm shocked, like, it's a good surprise. No, like, right, you're getting yourself out there, and it shows that she, as much as people think, oh, she hates the pressure, it shows that she's trying to make the effort. Yeah,
exactly.
No one wants to be living in a shadow, living like they can't express themselves. Mm-hmm. And you're better off expressing yourself rather than having random people, dumb right, journalists yeah, right saying exactly. dumb stuff.
One another thing as well, sorry to cut you, but like the work she puts in away from the court and non-tennis related work, like that is a lot of effort.
Yeah,
so like with all like the fashion
show,
stuff,
she was doing exactly, all of this, blah, like, blah, blah, you know, money after you
all
make
that kind of commitment.
Yeah, she's doing it, and on top of that, she's still winning.
This is the thing, like, it's
so
just,
this is
it's
why when people are chatting shit, like, that's why now today I'm like, bro, you guys are just jealous. That's just what it is.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? Like, there's so many, like, to me, it's just
I also love as well, if we're gonna just keep going about Osaka, but the fact that, like, yeah, the dual heritage thing, like, she's very proud and, like, yeah, like, she appreciates the culture of both
of
her Japanese side,
Japanese,
and the Haitian black, do you get me,
American,
which I absolutely love.
Like, she literally just brings it all together, and which is great, because she's telling people, you're not going to try and put me in a box.
Exactly. Yeah,
so yeah,
so yeah, shouts out to Osaka, man. We're not done. There's also the Sports Illustrated swimsuit cover.
Yeah.
One of three three models, shall I say, because I think...
One of them wasn't an athlete.
Yeah, Megan Thee Stallion was one.
Oh, yeah, sorry, yes. It was Naomi Osaka, Megan Thee Stallion. The last one, I can't remember.
Trans,
all I know is a transgender.
Trans, yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, shouts out. And yeah, again, incredible pictures. I mean... I'm not gonna lie to you, Lucy, I felt a way like posting it, because it's like,
look at you, Jim, respecting black women.
I'm being real, like, yeah, like,
okay,
women shouldn't really be, I don't know, what's the word I'm looking for,
I mean, it's Sports Illustrated, it's not Playboy.
I know, but at the same time, it's like, kind of past that now, surely. Do you get me?
True.
And obviously they're not doing it, like, they're getting paid for it, like, it's not, they're not doing it like against their will.
Mm-hmm,
I get that,
yeah,
but then
yeah.
I don't know, man, part of me just feels like it's kind of dated,
really,
a little bit, man. Yeah. So I had, like, but not reservations, but it was a bit weird, like, posting it.
Yeah,
but obviously I had to pay homage to, like, Serena and Sloane, because being fellow tennis players that have been on the cover before. Featured in Sports Illustrated. So, but yeah, incredible pictures, obviously.
Yeah, and, like, they were really nice.
She's a beautiful girl too, like, stunning. So yeah, lovely pictures. Staying with the Osaka, Tokyo Olympics now. That opening ceremony,
unbelievable.
Did you watch it?
I watched, like, just a little bit of it.
Yeah, very long. It was like 3-4 hours long, wasn't
it? Yeah, of course, because all the countries coming in and stuff and blah blah blah. But wow,
yeah,
speechless, man.
Because did you see the bit when they were, like, basically it was like three kind of, I guess, not models, but, like, figures.
Mm-hmm.
But they were, like, in the form of, like, the kind of, you know, whatever sport is being played, that, like, symbol will come up on the screen.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, like, apparently, Osaka was one of those, like, models.
I think I heard about that.
But
yeah.
I'm not sure if that's, like, true. If that's
just
a rumor.
I heard about that, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know either.
Because
I think I saw, like, some tweets about it as well.
I did see, like, I watched most of the ceremony, but not all of it. And I did see that bit or that part. And I was like, yeah, this is weird, but cool. Very Japanese. But yeah, Osaka, like, so she became the first tennis player to light the cauldron at an Olympic Games.
So.
Which is just, like,
crazy.
So, yeah, like, really and truly, who else could have done it in Japan? Like,
oh, man, no, this is, I feel like, as a fan, this was just such a proud
moment. Yeah, yeah,
like,
and she even said that, exactly.
Yeah, like, even her caption, like, I was really emotional, like it was very, like,
you text me saying,
like, bro, like, I'm too happy right now, like, especially with everything that's been going on. But it's just, to me, I'm just someone where I just love seeing people grow.
Yeah.
Especially people that, you know, I enjoy watching and stuff. And it's like, she's been through all of this. She's a great player. She's representing her country. You know, like, and I think it's also, as a tennis fan alone as well, it makes me happy. But even more, I was always scared of the Williams going, because it's like,
who's damn, next? You, like, you always say that. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah, so yeah. When I see Naomi Osaka, I'm like,
we good.
See her, when I see Coco, yeah. When I see Steve, like, when I see all these, I'm like, hi, yeah, cool, yeah, like, the niggas are still here. Like, this is what we need. This is what we need right now. African people live only. So, yeah, man, like, I can't, like, if this is how I'm feeling, I can't imagine how she's feeling, how her parents are feeling, especially her parents. Like they said in documentary, you know, it's been an issue for them being together because he
her
was black.
So, her mom is so cute as well.
Bro, like...
You can see that's where she gets the shyness from.
Yeah,
like.
Exactly, yeah. But, honestly, like, seeing that, I can't imagine how they feel, man.
Yeah.
Honestly, like, being probably pushed away from certain family members and friends. I bet now they're calling, like, oh, do you remember me? And it's like, F you.
Bye.
But yeah, congrats to her, man. Like,
incredible
honestly.
Look. And like you said, like, that is a huge moment, not just for Osaka, but
for tennis.
For tennis, like,
100%.
It's so big.
When I saw, I was like, yo, tennis is alive,
like,
bro.
This is what I'm saying. And that's going to, like, open up a lot of people's eyes 100%. To, like, the sport.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah,
that is 1,000%. What we want, ultimately, mm-hmm. for it to mm-hmm. grow. So... Yeah, like, just what she's doing, it's just, you can't really put it into words. But on the court now, so she played China's Zheng Shaisai, mm-hmm. Shaisai in the first round, and that was a straight sets win.
Yeah.
And obviously she hadn't played since the French Open.
Yeah.
So that's like 2 months.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, she just comes in, gets it done. Like, unreal. And then, yeah, she beat Victoria Godovich of Switzerland in round 2 again, mm-hmm. straight sets, pretty easy.
Mm-hmm.
So she'll play Markéta Vondrousova next of the Czech Republic in the third round, and like, it's really opened up now. It's in the draw.
Oh yeah, like, no, I felt like her draw from the beginning. I was like, she got this.
Yeah, but obviously Barty went out first round. I think she got beaten by Cerebes Tormo, the Spaniard.
I didn't expect that. I'm not gonna lie.
This is what I'm saying. Obviously coming off the Wimbledon.
I'm not gonna lie. Yeah, but. Most players, that's what happens. Like, a lot of these players, they win their slam and they're very, I mean,
it's wishy-washy.
Halep did that and it was very annoying that Wimbledon she won, and then her next match it was like 11 unforced errors on the first set, and it was just like, bro,
after
like,
playing lights
doing?
Out,
what are you doing? See, but yeah, man, like, Barty's one was a shocker, but yeah. Listen, as long as Osaka's winning through, then we good.
So, because I think now as well, obviously this is Monday, so earlier today, I say today, but yesterday even, Iga Swiatek, she also lost.
Yeah, and she actually cried and stuff.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she was on the court, like, she stood on the court a little bit for a while because she was crying afterwards.
That's not good.
But I think she's still in mixed doubles.
Yeah.
So hopefully she can bag that.
I think Sabalenka, she's also out with the singles.
Oh, is she?
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
So it's just, that's what I'm saying. It's wide open now. Like, for, there's no, obviously Osaka's the highest seed remaining. She's the second seed. But yeah, just in terms of like players that could potentially cause her problems, like Bencic, I think, still in there. I think Vekic is still in there. She's
Muguruza is still there.
Muguruza too. Yeah.
Who else
so
can I think?
I don't.
Of?
I can't really think of anyone else.
Isn't Azarenka?
No.
No. Okay.
So yeah, like, this is going to be a big moment.
And plus, Osaka, when she plays in Japan,
this,
like,
is what I'm saying. And like, I thought different. The pressure would kind of not get to her, but like, it would kind of tell.
I think it's motivating her.
This is that just shows you, like, the way she's
grind.
Built.
Yeah,
like she's built different. Yeah, like, yeah.
And I think I saw that a little bit more during the documentary as well, because, you know, she got personal on why she wanted to win.
Yeah.
It's not just for her; it's for her family. It's for everything. Yeah. So, you know. I think she has, like, how can I explain it? Like, it was just nice to see that, okay, she is a motivational, like, person. Mm-hmm. Like, it isn't a thing where she's just great at this and she does it well.
Yeah.
She has things on her mind that keeps her pushing.
She's a fighter,
So, yeah, man, like, oh, I just want her to bag those. Can you imagine 4 slams and a gold medal? Fuck off, man. Oh, that money's gonna come, baby. We getting rich, baby.
Get the money over here. No, it's incredible. So yeah, no, good luck to Osaka and her quest. One thing I've got to mention, actually, Tameni, our guy.
Yes.
He's actually out there, which is fantastic.
Niggas in Tokyo. I literally, IG, when he posted it, I was like, niggas in Tokyo.
Unreal. So shouts out to Tameni. But I love this tweet after her second round win. So he said, not everyone is capable of immediately performing after not competing for 2 months. But this has been a constant feature of Osaka's past year. Mm. Good start. Like, that just sums up literally a sentence, yeah. like just what yeah. she's about yeah. and like, yeah, what this year has been about for her. So I wouldn't be surprised if she goes on to win the gold. Like, and obviously that I know that's probably not probably that is her aim. And yeah,
oh yeah, it's, not 100%.
It's a realistic aim. So
100%.
Good luck to her in that, on that journey. On the men's side now, another friend of the pod, Francis Tiafoe, doing his thing. So again, this is his debut. Like Osaka, this is their first Olympics.
Yeah.
So yeah, Tiafoe, he won his doubles match with Rajiv Ram on day one. Mm-hmm. So they beat the 6 seeds, Rublev and Khachanov of Rock Team. They don't say Russia because Russia, obviously, the IOC is massive, like political shit going on.
Wait,
there.
Really?
Yeah. So it's that Russia's known as Rock Team, ROC team, dead. Like Rockefeller.
I was about to do the sign. Hello, ho.
You should wear Rock Nation.
We're gonna collect your money for them saying Rock Nation. Like, come on, man.
And then yeah, day two, he played his first singles match. Again, got the job done in straight sets. So he beat Sunwoo Kwon of South Korea, and that was a straight sets win. Messaged him after saying, "Yep, yeah, fire." Love the outfit as well. Like, really nice fit he was wearing. Yeah. So he, in the second round, he takes on Stefanos Tsitsipas, who I believe is the 3rd seed. It's a rematch of the Wimbledon first round.
How do you feel about that?
I think Tsitsipas is stressing again. I'll say that. So I think again, Tiafoe has nothing to lose. Like, Tsitsipas is the favourite. So, and I think even I'm gonna say it again. By the time this is out, the match probably would have been played. But
I think they're playing tonight, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah.
I think Tiafoe is gonna beat him because it's best of three, not best of five. So
yeah,
I think Tiafoe has a mental edge, obviously coming off the back of the Wimbledon win. And I just think he's in a good spot right now. Like, so yeah, like obviously good luck to Tiafoe. And I think it's going to be a good match. So yeah, we'll see how that pans out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a lot of first round exits. So, and some surprises. So the first one I want to talk about was Gael Monfils. He lost to Ilya Ivashka. And that was a 3-set defeat for Monfils. So I think Monfils was the 13th seed. He was seeded. Oh. So tough. That's a tough one. Mm. But he put up a good fight. So, you know, we all know he's been struggling for form and like it's not been his best year. Another defeat, Felix Auger-Aliassime. So the Canadian, he was a 10th seed.
And so that was supposed to be against Andy Murray.
Exactly. But Murray had to pull out. He was advised anyway to just basically play one event. So Max Purcell, the Australian, took Murray's spot and ended up beating Monfils. Ended up beating Auger-Aliassime in straight sets. And obviously Purcell, he's the guy that beat Jay Clark in Nur-Sultan.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Again, red hot form.
Phil just came from Wimbledon.
Exactly, the quarterfinal. Yeah. So he'd be disappointed, definitely. I'm not sure if he's playing doubles or mixed doubles. He might be playing with Leila Fernandez. I'd like to think so.
I think they are.
Oh, good.
I think
so. I've not
did I
seen
read it somewhere. I think they are.
I think the draw will be made tomorrow. So Tuesday, even when this
I
is out.
I think they are. I'm not too sure.
So we don't have the draw to hand. But
if they do play together, it will be great.
Oh, that'd be incredible.
Because Fernandez is a very good player. Yeah. I see them really well.
Like, they are literally like the kind of faces of Canadian tennis at the moment.
Yeah,
with 100%. Shapovalov, obviously, as well. And Andreescu. Yeah. Like, so exciting. Hopefully they do play mixed doubles. Heather Watson, she also lost in the first round. So she lost to Annalena Friedsam, the German. Again, straight sets. And again, I think Heather would be quite disappointed with that because, yeah, she's ranked higher than Friedsam. And yeah, I think obviously when you're playing the Olympics or representing your country, you want to do well.
Yeah.
So I can imagine she's probably disappointed there. Mm-hmm. And Jasmine Paolini, she had a tough one against Petra Kvitova. I think Kvitova was the 10th seed.
Yeah, but Petra and, yeah.
So that was a
losing
straight
against
set.
Petra
That's not really a shock. But I think even Kvitova's out now as well. I think she got knocked out in the second round.
Did Did she?
Yeah. So it's not, the thing is wide open. So yeah, they were the first round exits. Monfils, actually, he is still in the doubles with Jermaine Shardy.
Okay. Isn't Bernini still in a, is she not playing doubles?
Yeah, so she, they lost today. So
okay, cool.
Her and Sara Arni, they did win a round, but they lost today.
Okay,
unfortunately.
Cool.
But yeah, Monfils, he's still in the dubs with Shardy. So they've got Alexander Zverev and Jan-Lennard Struff, the German pair, in round two. So good luck to them there. So yeah, that's pretty much the Olympics wrapped up. Who do you think on the men's side, who do you think's winning?
You know.
Rhetorical question.
You know.
Yeah.
Mr. Novak.
I kind of want him to do it as well. I'm sorry. Like, obviously I want TFO to win. Like, I would love TFO to win gold. Yeah. That'd be incredible.
Or any medal, to be fair.
Yeah, I think, like, that's a good shout.
We're talking about the
exactly.
Olympics,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Any medal.
A medal,
if you get
is,
a bronze, that's more than.
Yeah, that's a good shout.
No, Djokovic, you know, he can do whatever, because I feel like this Olympics, like, to me, I feel like it will only be a big deal for me once Osaka wins.
Yeah,
do you get what
that.
I mean? But
I hear that.
The only time I think I will pray and hope this man loses is when we get to the US Open.
Don't, Lucy, why?
Because
so you don't want to do the Golden Slam.
No.
Or the Grand Slam, even. Well, it would be the Golden Slam if he wins the gold at,
that's what
in
I'm,
Tokyo.
Bro, wake up. He's getting too close to the numbers. I need him to relax.
He's there already.
That's what I'm saying. That doesn't mean the prayers have to stop.
So the prayers.
I don't want him to. Not, bro. I need everyone to. I need these men to wake up. These boys need to wake up.
Wait. So just quickly on Novak. So he's on 20 with Federer and Nadal now.
Yes.
So. You don't want him to win anymore.
It's not going to happen, but I don't want him to win anymore. Let Serena be on that 23rd, copying her 24th and 25th, hopefully, by the grace of God.
Oh, okay. So you...
I don't, like...
Is it because you want Serena on her own?
I want Serena to be on her own.
Okay.
That's the one.
I hear that.
And number two, like, because it's not even about Roger anymore, because personally,
Roger's
I
done.
Don't think Roger's going to win.
Roger's
slam.
Done, yeah.
He might win...
I think he's retiring at the end of the year. I'm just saying, I don't know, obviously I don't know that.
Do you know what I would
feeling.
Like him to do,
yeah.
so he could just be done and
yeah,
out,
yeah.
But I don't think he will.
Okay, fair
I
enough.
Think Roger loves the game too much. But I've loved the fact that Serena has been at the top on her own, because
yeah.
we already have to fight as fans to prove to people that, hey, she is the GOAT.
Yeah.
Oh, why? Okay, she has the most slams, but that's still not enough for people.
Yeah.
So if we have Novak coming in, that's even going to make
21.
It worse. You get what I mean? But at the end of the day, it doesn't change anything. He can have 10 more slams than her, but the impact that Serena has into this game would never be as near. Which is one of the things that Novak will always struggle with.
Yeah.
Margaret Court, she has allegedly the most amount of slams. But look at her.
Yeah.
Look at her. No one talks about her impact, her legacy, nothing. And I feel like someone like Novak, unless he changes, will end up like that. But someone like Serena, someone like Nadal, someone like Roger, or any other
Do you know what? With Novak, and like, a lot of people, he divides opinion. But like, I really respect him, because one thing he does, and I love, he always acknowledges like Serena's greatness as well.
Oh,
like,
no, he does. Even Roger, even Nadal.
I'm saying Novak. I think Novak does it more than Nadal and Federer. Like, I've heard Novak more time,
because
like
Roger and Nadal have an actual friendship. I remember they closed it in age as well. Like, they actually have like an actual friendship compared to the others. And then like, this is a competition. We're not meant to be Kiki King. We're not meant to be best friends.
But I'm saying, as in with Serena praise, like, I hear Novak more time than Federer and Nadal. Like
100%.
US Open, was it US Open?
Yeah, no, 100%.
Australian Open. He was.
I think she is closer to Novak. I think there's even a picture with him and Olympia when she was a baby.
They tried to. When was it again? I think it was Wimbledon.
It was Wimbledon. Yeah, I remember that picture.
A journalist
exactly.
was like, "Oh, have you spoke to Novak? Apparently, he called you up about the players, the PTPA thing."
Right.
And she was like, "Yeah, we had a conversation, but I'm not saying anything."
Yeah,
like,
and that's what I'm saying. I kind of feel like. Out of the big threes, definitely
they're
she has more of a friendship with him. But
I hear what you're saying. It's a good point. And obviously, that's like a selfish, like, fan thing.
Yeah, of course. I completely hear that. I'm not going to lie. This year, as much as, you know, I chat shit about Novak and I get onto him, this year, my respect for him is definitely gone. Like, and you have to.
I'll rate that.
If you are going to be the king of clay in French Open semi-finals and the president's even saying, fuck the curfew, let this match keep on going. And then you're winning slam back to back. What? I'm sorry. If you hate on the guy, you're actually being a hater.
Yeah.
Do you get what I mean? 100%. I don't want to be a hater.
100%.
But I don't feel like the guy
is kind of hating, but it's cool. It's justified. You justified it.
So yeah.
So I hear you.
He can win that gold if he wants, whatever, silver, bronze, whatever. But this slam, boy, I am fasting. This guy needs to lose.
We'll talk about the US Open next month. But yeah, shout out to all the Olympians, man. Not just tennis, just Olympians in general.
Facts.
Like
all of them.
To compete in those conditions, no right fans, now. Like. It's wild, but
yeah, no fans. That's true.
It's crazy. Like they worked hard to get there, and I just hope they all just enjoy the experience. Mm-hmm. So yeah, kind of rounding up now. So this is happening now, literally as we record, because it's midweek. So the Generali Open in Kitzbühel, Austria. I think that's Dominic Thiem's favorite tournament.
Oh, okay.
But obviously, he's injured. He's not playing.
I think he's done for the year, not gonna lie.
Really? So Mikel Yimmer, he's currently there. So he beat Pablo Cuevas in round one. Very good win. So that was a 6-3, 7-5 win for Yimmer. And yeah, he'll play the temp seed Carlos Alcaraz, who just won his first tournament in Umag, I think, in Croatia last weekend. Or the wild card Alexander Eller. I think he's Austrian. So that's a round two match for Emma. And he's actually beaten Alcaraz this year already at the Australian Open. So this is on clay though. And clearly he loves the clay. So we'll see how that goes for him. I think he could probably make another run, I think. So yeah, good luck to Emma and Kitzbühel. And then there's the LTP Women's Open in Charleston, which is a WTA 125 event. And that's on clay. A lot of Americans in this draw. So Sasha Vickery, shout out. She's the seventh seed. She plays Ali Kick, a fellow American, in round one. Katrina Scott, she takes on the top seed, Madison Brengel, in round one. And Whitney Osigwe, she lost, unfortunately, in round one to Jamie Loeb on Monday. So... yeah, shouts out to Vickery and Scott, and good luck to them at the LTP Women's Open in Charleston. And Lucy, that literally wraps up the show.
Didn't? Oh, I think Stephen had like some foundation thing.
Yeah, good call. Yeah. So yeah, Stephen's, I think she played Kim Clijsters.
I think so, yeah, she did.
It was like an exhibition in Atlanta.
Mm-hmm. Do you reckon Kim's going to play the US Open?
Probably, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised.
It's so funny how there was all this hype about her coming back and it's been quiet since.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. But obviously, yeah, shouts out to Stevens because obviously that must have raised some money for a good cause.
Fire Foundation, yeah.
Yeah.
As she always does.
Indeed. So, yeah, we look forward to the US hardcourt swing, which is literally imminent. So, yeah, guys, we thank you for listening. Keep enjoying the Olympics, not just the tennis, but all the sporting events going on. Can't wait for the athletics. It's going to be great. But obviously, this is a tennis podcast, so we'll keep it tennis. But yeah, guys, again, apologies. Obviously, we didn't come to you on Monday. We're coming a bit later, but just very busy.
We're still on job, though.
Exactly.
Shout out to us.
See commitment, indeed. Shouts out to Lucy. Big up yourself.
Thank you. Oh, I forgot to do this.
What's this?
Guys, Eugene came with no snacks to the pod. I said I was going to share him with the pod, but I completely forgot him. Thank God I didn't. For the we've been potting for like a year and a half, and he's never. This house where you're a bit like, okay, you get the book, but today, no snack, no water, no nothing. Eugene, how do you feel about this?
If you're gonna talk about no war and snack, like we're at your house, I've not been offered a drink or any kind of like,
do you know what?
Refreshments, like,
do you know what? Hey, cut this bit. No, you're right. You know what? My bad. That was very bad of me. I have this bad habit of forgetting of asking people if they want a drink or not when they come to my house.
It's cool. I'll just sweat in the corner. It's fine.
So sorry. Do you want something to drink?
No, guys. Listen. Thank you. Thanks for listening. And yeah, until next time. Take care.